moments as we think together about God's Word. Thanks to Rachel for putting those packs together for Friday evening and for today. So many people have been involved in this weekend with the community day yesterday, the prayer space, the youth event last night. So many things going on, and as I said, on Friday evening as well, just a brilliant buzz about the building during the week, preparing for that and building up for that. I'm so grateful to everyone who's had a part in this weekend and who's had a part in this service today. As I was thinking about the passage that was read to us by Daisy, and thinking about that first line, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," I was trying to think about a time in my own life when I did feel condemnation, when I was really aware that I was in trouble. And I didn't have to think too hard. There were a number of times throughout my life where I knew, uh-oh, I am in trouble. I'm not sure whether I've told you this before or not, but the time that came to mind was when I was about 8 or 9, and on the bus home from school on Friday, there was an apple being thrown around, and it came my direction, and I returned it. In the manner with which it came to me, it went back. Unfortunately for me, my headmaster happened to be posting a letter at the letterbox at the top of the North Road, which was also the route of my journey home. And the bus driver had had enough. He stopped the bus, and our headmaster boarded the bus and said, "Any one of you who threw that apple is in big trouble on Monday morning. Who threw the apple?" I kept my hands firmly on my legs. I tried not to flinch. I kept my head down. The bus driver identified a few people. Other people volunteered themselves. I was doing none of those things. And eventually he stepped off the bus and I breathed a sigh of relief. For happy days. I'm in the clear. As I was walking home, a girl in P7 said, "You threw the apple too, and I'm going to tell." And that was my weekend ruined. Because all I could think about was this impending doom on Monday morning that awaited me with Mr. Morwood. I felt sick. Not just Mr. Morwood, but Mr. and Mrs. Wiley were also going to be a fearsome duo to explain this situation to, especially because my dad was a bus driver and could explain to me the seriousness of distracting a driver. There was at least one witness willing to point out in the courtroom of our assembly hall my crime. I had launched a half-eaten Granny Smith down the bus, and the consequences were coming my way. No sentence had been passed, but I knew I'd done wrong. And over that weekend hung fear and condemnation. Rather than giving the little snitch the opportunity to drop me in it, I raised my hand willingly on Monday morning and said, "Yes, I also threw the apple." I got a detention and a letter home to my parents, and I was having to explain in detention the dangers of distracting a bus driver on the way home. I realised I was guilty. I knew I had done wrong. But on top of that, I also became aware that I was going to have to give an account for it. I was going to have to speak about it. I was going to have to do something about it. And in the book of Romans, Paul the Apostle spends a long time helping the church there to realize that their behavior is worthy of condemnation. It's not as though God is relying on Paul to squeal on the Roman church. But just in case they thought or could fool themselves into thinking they were going to get away with it, in chapters 1 to 3, Paul lists their crimes. chapter 3, we read these words, "No one is righteous, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is on their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness." Like a doctor says, stick out your tongue and we'll see what your condition is. Paul says, venom of asps is on their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There's footprints here that show you are guilty of shedding blood. Their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul lists their crimes and he says, I know what you did and I'm going to tell. Not that he's going to tell God, but he's going to tell them. He's going to explain to them their lives. And he says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. You've got no defense, Roman church. Your mouths are stopped. He says, the whole world is accountable to God, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. There is no doubt about the sentencing. There is no doubt about the crime or the guilt. Their behavior is obvious. It's unambiguous. It's consistent. It's clear. It's written on the human conscience that they and we have done wrong. God has made himself known through his eternal power, through his creation. He's raised the curtain on his divine nature by the things that he's made, so that people have been left without excuse. None of us will stand before God and say, I missed the day you covered that in school, that you existed. I missed that day, and therefore I don't have to submit the work. Paul says, men are without excuse. Don't come before God and say, well, I was sick, or I wasn't paying attention, or I was off playing sport that day, and the day it was covered that there is a God for whom I will have to give an account. I missed it. Paul says, everyone's going to have to give an account, and there are no excuses. God's word says, open your eyes and look around. Who made all this? Who created you? Do you think this came about by building contractors, interior designers? I think the animals came about by vets. I think people just arrive in this world because there are midwives to deliver them. Without doubt, in order to remove all speculation, Paul spells out meticulously what these people can expect for their crimes against God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Unlike me wondering what Mr. Morwood was going to do on Monday morning, what my punishment would be, the church in Rome were well aware of what was coming their way for their behavior. They knew how God was going to respond to them. The wages of sin is death. They deserved death. The whole world may be held accountable to God, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. There's a target that none of us can reach. Caleb McFadden can jump 1.95 meters, isn't that right? 1.95 meters, which is a pretty high jump. It's over my head. It's incredible, actually. But the standard of God is even higher than that. It's a height that no one can reach. It's perfection. The bar is so high that not even Caleb McFadden can jump over it. None of us can. The standard that God requires is beyond you and beyond me. No matter how good you might think you are, no matter how good you might feel you are, the standard that God requires is perfection. No one is righteous. Not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Nobody qualifies. All of humanity are getting off the bus on Friday afternoon with a guilty verdict hanging over their heads and someone saying, I'm going to tell. You're going to have to give an account. And you feel that condemnation. You feel that guilt. You feel that shame. And you wonder, what am I going to do about it? You know that your life is not what it should be. John Lennon sang, you can go to church and sing a hymn. You can judge me by the color of my skin. You can live a lie until you die. One thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside. And internally, we have an inability. Sin has disabled us from reaching the standard that God requires of you and me. We're incapable. We're full of weakness. We're unable to obey God and keep his law. And so as we gather here today, even though we are a diverse people in age and gender and economic background and color of skin, political outlook, musical taste, the team we support, the colour of our hair or whether we have hair or not, the thing that unites us is we are crippled inside. We have been disabled by sin and we cannot please God on our own. And that should cultivate in this community humility to say we are all far short of the standard that God requires. None of us have qualified. We are a group of people who have been disqualified from heaven as a result of our thought processes, as a result of our heart, as a result of our actions. We are on the outside. Each moment that passes, our criminal record grows and grows. Lies, envy, foolish talk, sexual immorality, greed, hypocrisy, racism, sectarianism, arrogance, pride, bitterness, manipulation, selfishness, and on it goes. And then there's all the things that we should do and choose not to do because it will be an inconvenience to us or interrupt our plans. We feel the guilty verdict. You threw the apple, and I'm going to tell. And the amazing news of this Easter Sunday morning is that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Jesus took the punishment for you. Jesus went to the headmaster for you. Jesus is the one who did not throw the apple and said, I threw the apple. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Pilate says, I find no guilt in him, and yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to be really clear about this morning. Trusting Jesus is the only way to be free from condemnation. You will not be free from condemnation if you get a promotion. You will not be free from condemnation if you get married, if you have children. You will not be free from condemnation if your bank balance gets to the number that you want it to get to. If your pension fund grows to the number you want it to grow to before you retire, you will still feel that condemnation. If you get the six-pack that you so desperately desire, you will still feel condemned. If you get the marathon time you long for, you will still feel condemned. If you get the takeaway that you're looking forward to this week, or at the weekend, or eat in the restaurant that you'd love to eat in, or go to the destination that you long to go to, you will still feel condemned. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in the black. No, for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's the only way to be released from the curse of sin. Jesus is the only one who can give you a not guilty verdict. He took your sentence, even though he was innocent of every single crime. You know, Jesus is the only one who's got nothing to fear on Monday morning. He's the only one who can have every accusation thrown at him, and he can go to sleep at night without having any fear of any accusation being found to be true. Pilate said, "I find no guilt in him." The one who was guilty took the sting of death. If you were here, or who was not guilty took the sting of death. If you're here on Friday night, you'll have heard Leslie talk about that. Jesus didn't deserve it. If you did Hope Explored with us this year, you remember Rico Tice talked about cycling to work, but being on his bike on the way to work and being knocked off his bike and hitting the pavement or hitting the road so hard that his cycling helmet shattered. He ended up with a few bumps and bruises, but the doctor said, "You should have died. You should have lost your life, but your helmet saved your life. Your cycling helmet was shattered in the place of your skull. It saved you." And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ was shattered. He took the fall for you and me so that you can have life. On the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. And here in the death of Christ, I live. Paul says to the church at Rome, "If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Is the spirit of Christ in you? Loads of people speak about death. Loads of people have opinions about it, poems, images. Jesus Christ is unique in that he conquered it. I might have told you this story before, but I think it illustrates really well what we're thinking about this morning. There were two guys, and they were hunting ducks in Georgia, in the United States of America. And far away on the horizon, they noticed that there was a gorse fire or a brush fire happening. And with a strong wind coming their direction, they noticed that the smoke was coming quite close, and it wouldn't be long before the sound of crackling was getting closer and closer. And the fire was advancing at such a rate that they knew they could not outrun it. They could not escape. They could not get away from the fire. And so they rummaged in their pockets to see, you know, what can we do? How can we help ourselves here? And one of the guys had a box of matches. And he's like, "Yes, I've got a box of matches." And his friend's like, "Are you serious? The fire is the problem. We don't need more fire. Fire is the problem." And he watched in disbelief as his friend struck a match and lit the ground around them until it was all burnt out. And they stood in this burnt patch of ground. And the fire came close enough so that their clothes smelt of smoke, close enough that they had to cover their mouths with hankies and crouch down. Standing in this blackened earth, they waited for the fire to pass over them. The fire came near and swept over them, but they were completely unhurt because the fire didn't burn the place where fire had already burned. Their only hope was to stand in a place that had already experienced the fire. Don't move from the burned over grass. I want to ask you this morning, are you standing in a safe place? Jesus has already taken the heat for you. Everywhere else you stand is guaranteed death, eternal separation from God, and punishment forever. In Christ alone our hope is found. Not in Christ a lot, in Christ alone. He is the only safe place to stand. Look at Romans 8:33. Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And so we sing, I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Are you standing in a burned over place? Are you standing in Christ this morning because he's the only safe place to stand? No matter what anyone else says about you, no matter what anyone else accuses you of, no matter what anyone else has seen you doing and threatens you with, who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head. You trusting in Jesus this morning? It's my prayer that you are. Let's take a moment to pray. Resurrecting God, we pray that you would make us mindful that death is not the end for the Christian. Save us from the judgment that we deserve and make us faithful to encourage others to flee from the wrath to come. We look in hope to the joy that will be ours when we are saved from that wrath through the merits of Christ. We will be clothed in resurrected bodies to reign on a renewed earth. Come, Holy Spirit, apply to us the benefits of the fact that there was an other who was shattered in our place so that we might have life. Help us to appreciate afresh that he was stretched out on a cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May we be found in him. May we stand in him. May we locate our safety and security and identity and purpose in him, so that no condemnation now we dread. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Just now, we're going to celebrate in the Lord's Supper.